We'll desire your prayers this morning, as always. I'm thankful that, as we mentioned earlier, that not only are his promises true, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, he also has shown us a way how to make it through this life. And I have some thoughts this morning to share. And I want to turn and read some scriptures in one of the minor prophets, Zechariah. And we'll read some scriptures in the 9th chapter. And before I read some of these scriptures, just give a little background here. That the prophet here, Zechariah, he was, God called him to minister to God's people, those of Judah and in Jerusalem there, to encourage them. That was the gist of most of his ministry there. And he was predicting the welfare, the future welfare of Jerusalem, the holy city there, that there would someday come a king, and we'll read the scripture here in a little bit, a prophecy of Jesus, that would enter in riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, and he would reign. He didn't go into a lot of detail, but just talked about his kingdom, the size of it, and that Jesus would come. And when the prophet was prophesying and ministering there to God's people, this was in the early 500 BCs. So this was sometime several hundred years before Christ. But yet God, and Zechariah is just one of the many prophets that were given prophecies of Jesus and his coming. But this one is a unique prophecy of Jesus and how that it was looking forward to and anticipating his arrival and him setting up this kingdom. And to think of it this way, so they just returned from the Babylonian captivity, and those in Judah there, Jerusalem, they were very uncertain about their future. In other words, they didn't know, like, okay, who else is going to come take us captive? We're depleted as it is. Jerusalem was in ruins. This was not a good time, if you could call it that way, to be one of God's people on the earth at that time, because things were in shambles. They'd been in captivity. They'd been prisoners. And there was, again, some concern and uncertainty about the future. And you could say it this way. Now, granted, we haven't been in our nation. We haven't experienced that type of captivity that they did. But yet, there is yet a, if you could say it this way, there's a spiritual attack that's been taking place in our nation for decades. And it, for sure in my lifetime, and we've seen how Satan has developed some inroads into our society, and it affects us all. And there's some natural concern for the future, like, well, we remember what it was like 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago, 100 years ago, 150 years ago. And true, there's been a lot of changes, and there's been a lot of challenges, And so looking ahead, there's obviously some uncertainties, some questions we don't know. So in some ways, we can relate to the children of Israel there. But again, the message that Zechariah had was a message of encouragement, to look forward to the greater days when the king would come riding on a donkey, just as Jesus did. So I want to turn to read some of these verses here. And again, Zechariah, the 9th chapter. And I'm going to start reading. I'm just going to read a few verses and then skip a few and read the closing verses of this chapter. So Zechariah 9, we'll start with verse 9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee." Notice the first part of this. Rejoice greatly. They just came back from captivity. Their city was in shambles. And he's telling them, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. But the point was, is like, don't focus on what you're seeing and experiencing here and now. Focus on something in the future here, all right? Something that God's going to do. And he said, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. Again, this is a prophecy of Jesus. Lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And that's exactly how Jesus came into Jerusalem. The last week before his crucifixion, he came riding on a donkey. Exactly what the scripture says. In verse 10, and I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. And his dominion, this is his domain, okay? His dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from river even to the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. In verse 12, turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. Notice what he's saying here. I love this verse. I want to focus on this verse, and this is my central thought here this morning. I'm going to read this verse again. It says, turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. So, ye prisoners of hope. And another translation says it this way, come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners who still have hope. I promise this very day, the day of salvation, that I will repay two blessings for each of your troubles. Now, I don't know about you all, but that sounds encouraging. That sounds like something I will enjoy, all right? That I'll receive two blessings for each of my troubles. So, a double blessing. And then, and to think of this, that the prophet is saying this roughly 500 years before Christ was to come. Now, folks, that in itself just blows me away. That this is just one instance of many prophecies in the Old Testament that came true exactly to the letter. And this is just demonstrating the power of God, that he inspired this one little minor prophet, just a few chapters here, and he just, you know, prophesied a small span of time during a very dark time, but yet he was giving them some hope. And he said, turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. You could say it this way. It was as if he was giving them something to look forward to, that, you know, God can bless you now, but there's something even greater ahead, okay? And we'll get to more of that here in a little bit. But I'm going to read these last two verses and conclusion of this chapter. And it says, and the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people. Again, this is the day of salvation, pointing towards Christ, what he was bringing. For they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. So what he's talking about here is God's divine power and excellence, and the fact that he can bring plenty. There'll be plenteous, not just in the physical sense, but he's saying in a spiritual realm, there will be plenty for all to go around. It'll make them cheerful. And to think of this, this prophet Zechariah, you know, he had no clue. Let me rephrase this. I know he had a clue, okay? But I don't think he fully comprehended the fullness of salvation that he was prophesying about, because he didn't experience it like we are able to experience it. But he knew it was something awesome and wonderful, and it would be like a double blessing. And that's how he quoted it. It's like, this is going to be a double blessing for the future generations. And so he was greatly anticipating this. So I want to write the title on the board this morning. So I have a unique title written on the board. It says, From Prisoners of Hope to Freedom Walkers. All right, so let me explain just a little bit. So if you look up the term Freedom Walkers, it's actually something used in our nation some decades back during the Civil Rights Movement. And there was some good progress made along that line. There's actually a book titled Freedom Walkers. But this morning, my emphasis is not on the Civil Rights Movement, but it's rather a spiritual connection. But again, from prisoners of hope, which is good, all right? There was some hope, and they had something to anticipate, something to look forward to. But God is saying, I have something even much greater for you that you can walk in freedom. And that's why I titled it Freedom Walkers. All right. So we'll explain more of that later as we go along here. So I want to transition here just for a little bit. And thinking of freedom walkers, that's, again, walking in the freedom that Christ gives us. All right. That's what I want to emphasize here this morning. Walking in the freedom that Christ gives us. Okay. So I want to share just a brief little story of something back when I was a child. In fact, I was 8 years old. So 1984, we were actually in the middle of another presidential election. And I remember just as a child, there was some concerns about the election. And it's funny how a child, again, is 8 years old. I wasn't picking up on all the details. I knew the names of the candidates, but I didn't understand fully. All I knew was there was some great concern. And some of the conversations going on, they were worried about the future and the direction of the country. And again, folks, this was 40 years ago. But as a child, though, it alarmed me. And I didn't speak much about it. I didn't voice my thoughts or opinions, but it troubled me. It actually, I had a lot of fear. And looking back, it was a lot of fear and anxiety for a little 8-year-old because I didn't understand the implications of all of this, all right? So fast forward 40 years, and you realize that's 10 presidential elections. And guess what, folks? We're still here. And I want to say this. God has still preserved his people. There has been some ups and downs, all right? We understand that. There's been a lot of things that I think some good things have happened, and there's been some concerning things that have happened. And my intention this morning is not to go down a political path. That's not my intention at all. But rather to emphasize the spiritual analogies here, okay? And it goes back to the prophet Zechariah that they were in a difficult time. When they came out of captivity, their city was in shambles, okay? And we could say it this way. In the day and age we live in now, in 2024, the spiritual horizon of America in a lot of ways are in shambles, all right? Now, there are some high points. There's some encouraging things that have been happening. There's been some revivals that have broke out, and there's other things. And so God is still working and moving. But you consider the dark side, it's like, yeah, it's growing. But the scriptures point to that. We've known that the love of many shall wax cold, and evil and wickedness will continue to abound. But grace does much more abound, okay? So that's what I want to focus on this morning, that we can be prisoners of hope. We can have something to anticipate. But folks, we can have something even greater than that, and that is to be freedom walkers, walking in Christ's freedom, okay? So I'm just going to underline that again, that is our emphasis this morning. And so thinking again of that incident 40 years ago, and there's been other times in my life that obviously I had grave concern, and sometimes it goes one way, sometimes it goes another way. But through all of that, I can look back now, 40 years later, and I can see how that God has helped me personally with some of these fears and anxieties and concerns of the future and all those things. But when I sit back and consider all of this, I'm like, Lord, you've been with us every step of the way for 40 years. And that's just my lifetime. I know there's some here that could go back even further, decades further, and they could say the same thing, that God has still been there for them all the way through. And so we could say it this way. 40 years from now, God's going to see us through whatever happens the next 40 years and the 40 years after that. You know, that builds my confidence in the God that I serve, that I can experience this freedom while walking in Christ, and I know he's going to see me through every step of the way, no matter who's elected, no matter the transitions that our country goes through. Think of the children of Israel throughout the whole Old Testament. How many times, yes, sometimes they went into captivity. Sometimes they suffered persecutions and different things would happen. But God was always there for those who sought him. For those whose heart was open to the Lord, God was always there to encourage, to preserve them, and enable them to function in life. You know, it's no different today. Fast forward several thousand years to where we're at now. God is still the same God. God is still on his throne. That has not changed. That's one ruler, that's one leader that has never changed. He cannot be kicked out of office. He cannot be demoted. He cannot be, what's the term I'm looking for? Impeached. Yes, thank you. God cannot be impeached off of his throne. Everyone is subject to him. Thank the Lord. Even Satan comes up against the Lord and says, remember when Satan tempted Jesus? He wanted to, if you could call it this, disrupt the pattern here, what God was putting into place. Satan was trying to disrupt God's plan. But Jesus sent him packing, folks. He used the very word of God to defeat Satan. Do you realize we have that same blessing opportunity that we can use God's word to defeat Satan today? Thank the Lord that we can also send him packing, that he wouldn't disrupt God's plan for us. Okay, so now thinking of this double blessing and the plenty that is promised. These blessings that God wants to pour out upon us, God does not skimp. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You know, the scripture talks about give and it should be given unto you again. But I'm butchering the scripture here a little bit. But anyway, it talks about shaken and pressed down, okay? So back in the olden days, in the Bible days, when they would measure out grains and flours or whatever it was, and if you were a good, honest person that had a good reputation in trading with people, you would shake that down and press it and pour some more to make sure that they weren't skimping, all right? That was good measure. You realize God does the same for us. He doesn't just skimp by and just like, well, I'll just give you a few little crumbs here and you'll just kind of survive, maybe. No, that's not how God operates. He is a God of bounty, okay? And notice, I want to read this, for how great is the goodness and how great is the beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful and new wine the maids. The point is, there's plenty promised. There's plenty to go around. Just like with the loaves and fishes when Jesus performed that miracle, how many bushels or how many baskets were left over? And they started out with just a handful of pieces here. And it was 12 baskets, wasn't it, that was left over? Again, that's typifying, if you think about this, when Jesus gets a hold of math, his math is different than the common math we understand, okay? Because he can multiply where it seems impossible to multiply. Now, let's take that in a spiritual context. Do you realize God can multiply power within us where it seems impossible? Where it seems we've had a weakness or an issue or faults or whatever for years, and Jesus is saying, just let me get a hold of that, child, and let me show you what I can do with your life. Oh, thank the Lord. And you know, he did that exact thing with his disciples. So I want to go back to these blessings that are promised. You know, the promises that Zechariah was trying to portray here, again, I don't think he understood the fullness of all of this. But looking now, we can look back and see what Jesus ushered in. Some of these blessings, let's just name a few of them here. No more were God's people a prisoner to sin and Satan and self. Jesus came to set us free. And there's a scripture, a very familiar one in John, the 8th chapter, that talks about that. It says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That means truly free, not just kind of free. I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of free, but there's still some things kind of holding me down, holding me back. That's not free indeed. We're talking about, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So that's one of these blessings, the double blessings, not just freedom, but freedom indeed, truly free. That's a double spiritual blessing he's talking about here. And here's another blessing. There is no more need, when Jesus came as the great sacrifice, the perfect lamb that was slain for us, there's no more need of us to offer the physical sacrifices like they did for centuries in the Old Testament. That was just a gruesome, bloody mess. You realize that? That just a strain on the family of making these sacrifices, and the priests were having to do it too, and all these things. It's just like, we got to go through all this again? Thank the Lord that Jesus became the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for our sins to save us. Well, another blessing. I mentioned earlier just a little bit ago about the priest. There's no more dependency on mankind alone to commune with God. No need of the priest, no need of the prophets. Again, we're reading from Zechariah. He was a prophet. He was a man of God. God spoke through him, and he in turn encouraged God's people. But thank the Lord, Jesus ushered in a new dispensation when that veil was rent in the temple, when he was crucified, and when he resurrected again on the third day, that he ushered in the opportunity for all of us to commune with God directly, to have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit 24/7. Thank the Lord. We didn't have to wait a certain time of the year, a certain time of the week, and a certain priest or whoever to intercede for us and to offer sacrifices and to pray for us. That we can have direct access to God's throne through the Holy Spirit, saying, Lord, I'm here standing before you. I want to talk with you. And the Lord's saying, I've been waiting for this opportunity. And then we can commune with him. And he can reveal things to us. And he can encourage us directly. Where there's no, there's not another human being in the way. All right? You understand what I'm saying? But that we can, again, it's a wonderful blessing. Direct access to God, to commune with him. And another blessing that Jesus ushered in. There's no more wandering through life aimlessly, not knowing what's going to happen, understand what I'm saying here. There's a lot of things that we are limited to, okay? Because we're human. We can't predict the future. But folks, we can hold the hand of one that knows the future. The songs talk about that, all right? The scriptures refer to it as well. That there can be that voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. That the Holy Spirit can be our guide, our director, our instructor, our encourager, our comforter, all right? To help us along this path. Folks, these are great blessings that 500 years before Christ, they couldn't comprehend that. Zechariah didn't have the full comprehension of it, but he knew it was coming. All he could say is, you prisoners of hope, I'm pointing you towards a beautiful day coming someday. And folks, we're living in it. We're the freedom walkers. We're walking in the freedom of Christ. All these blessings I just listed out. Folks, there's so much. We have the beautiful word of God in scripture form, in written form, that we can read, that they didn't have the blessings of that. They had some cumbersome scrolls in the Old Testament, or if some in the New Testament that Jesus actually read from, some scrolls from the Old Testament writings, very cumbersome. They'd have to roll those out, and not everyone could read. And it was only in that language, in the Hebrew, and then later into Greek, and then into all many other languages. And we have the privilege and the blessing to be freedom walkers in the Spirit of Christ, that he's given all these things, again, not just giving us crumbs, but he's just pouring it out where it's overflowing. That's how the blessings of God work. Thank the Lord. So, speaking of Jesus and his disciples, I want to turn and read some scriptures here in John, the 16th chapter. So, in John 16, and this is right before his crucifixion, around the Last Supper. And Jesus had a lot of things to say to them. And we could read several scriptures here, but we're just going to trim it down to some in the 16th chapter. We'll start with we'll just read verses 23 and 24 and then skip on down. Verse 23, it says, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name." In other words, you haven't experienced this yet, but it's fixing to happen. He's pointing towards this himself, where he can say, "Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Thank the Lord. Not just a half empty cup, like I'm drinking out of right here. That's not full. It's half empty. I would feel like I was shortchanged something. But Jesus gives us a full cup of joy where it's overflowing. He says, that your joy may be full. And then he goes on down, verse 32. "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Notice verse 33 here. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." All right? Not in all these other things you see and experience. You're not going to find peace in those. But in me you'll find peace. And then he goes on and says this, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." You know, that's a promise as well. That's kind of an ugly promise. Well, he's stating a fact that you will have tribulation. In other words, applying that to us today, we're going to have trials and troubles. We're going to have uncomfortable situations. We're going to have things that frustrate us. We're going to have things that confuse us. All of these things, we're going to have tribulation. But Jesus didn't stop there. You could say it this way, prisoners of hope. That's what the prophet Zechariah was saying. You're having some tribulations. Your city is destroyed here, and you're going to have to live in these shambles and rebuild the temple and do all this stuff. These are troubles. But he's like, I'm pointing you towards a time where we're not even going to focus on the physical temples. He didn't say that, but that's what happened, that there's going to be something that our builder and maker will be God. He's going to build a temple within us where his presence dwells, all right? And this is something that will glorify God, and this is something where we walk in freedom in the Spirit. So he's pointing towards all of that. But I want to read this again. "But be of good cheer." He's like, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. You're going beyond just a prisoner of hope. He's saying, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Thank the Lord. So we're looking to someone that's already conquered Satan. He's already conquered the one that promotes trials and tribulations in our lives, right? To where we focus on those things. But Jesus came to be an overcomer and to help us also be an overcomer, where we can reign with him and where we're walking around in freedom just like Jesus did. When he resurrected from the dead, folks, he was a free man. He was free from everything Satan could throw at him. He defeated him once and for all. And that same freedom is offered to you and I today, that we can walk around with freedom. Not with chains dragging us down of fears and doubts. But we can, if we could say this, where we're not living in a cloud of fear, where we're just kind of barely making it. And we're looking at the crumbled city of Jerusalem and the temple that was destroyed. And again, going back to the prophet Zechariah, we're looking at all the things around us, and we're prisoners of hope. We hope for a better day someday. Folks, that better day is now. The scripture says, now is the day of salvation. That kingdom of God is within you. It's not another realm, not another time, not another space. It's in you now. That we can be the temple of God now, dwelling with Christ and the power and the freedom that he gives us. Thank the Lord. So again, that our joy may be full. Thank the Lord. So walking around enjoying life freely, as God meant us to enjoy it that way, not to be in bondage or in prison or in chains, and not hiding or running in fear when one little thing happens over here, it's like, oh no, the whole world is going to crash because this happened. No. That's not living as the scripture told us to. And I've used a scripture many times and I've stood on it and I'm going to share it again. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, folks, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That means someone that's walking around in freedom in Christ, not in a proudful, cocky way of like, oh, look at me and look what I did. But no, walking around in the boldness and confidence of God. That God is the one that got me to this place. God is the one that gave me the victory and the power. I didn't do it. No one else did it. And I know Satan didn't do it. But God is the one that enabled me to walk around and be a freedom walker. Thank the Lord. And I want to emphasize this again. This is a privilege that we can be of good cheer. You know, I'm going to go back to this again. Lord, help us. No matter the outcome of the election, we can be of good cheer. In the spirit. That God is still going to be with us. As we sang earlier, never alone. God's not going to leave us. The last 40 years, God never left me. He never left my parents, my grandparents, my siblings, the rest of the church here, the congregation, other collective congregations. God didn't leave them. For the last 40 years, God has always been there for those that would seek him. And you know what? For the next 40 years, God's still going to be there. No matter who's in power, no matter what's happening in our nation here in America, God is still in control, folks. There's nothing that surprises him. And so right now, right here in 2024, our joy can be made full through the peace that Jesus gives us and the victory and the power that he gives us. Now, I want to mention this again. I mentioned this the other night here in service a couple weeks ago. But you know, 40 years was also used. You remember the children of Israel when they wandered around for 40 years in the wilderness when they were delivered out of Egypt? That was a long time. They were prisoners of hope, basically. They were anticipating, eventually, they're going to make it over into the land of Canaan. They had some hope, anticipation. But it wasn't the fullness of God's plan. And if you remember the backstory there, it was the 12 spies that went out. And 10 of them did not believe. Like, there's giants. We're as grasshoppers. We're like, we can't do that. They were focusing on the enemy. They were focusing on themselves. They weren't focusing on God. They weren't magnifying God and his power. He'd performed all those miracles with the plagues, delivered them through the Red Sea and all these things, and was given a manna and all the, and yet they murmured and complained. They wanted to go back, and the 10 spies caused the rest of the multitude to murmur. But there were two, Joshua and Caleb. Thank the Lord. They were faithful. They got a hold of the vision and they magnified God. They said, we are well able to go and defeat these giants in the power of God, all right? Not in ourselves, but God is, we're well able to go with God on our side. And so they became, through the 40 years, think of this, for the next 40 years, it was only the younger generation that lasted through those 40 years. All the older ones of Joshua and Caleb's generation older, they all died off. But for 40 years, God maintained Joshua and Caleb. Or we could say it this way. They maintained their confidence in God. They didn't listen to the continued murmuring of the multitude for the next 40 years. They didn't lose out. They ultimately became the freedom walkers when they came over into Jericho and they conquered Jericho. Who are the only two older ones there? Joshua and Caleb. They survived those 40 years. God was with them and God blessed them. And later, remember what Caleb said when he was 80 years old? Give me this mountain. Thank the Lord. Oh, the vigorous determination to continue to be a warrior for God. 80 years old, give me this mountain. I can take it just as I was when I was 40 years old, 40 years ago. God was the one that enabled him to do that, folks. for those 40 years, God preserved Joshua and Caleb. Again, 40 years ago in my life, God preserved me these 40 years. These next 40 years, we don't know what the future holds. But you know what? I know who holds tomorrow, as the psalm says. And I know who holds my hand. We have a God that is still on his throne that wants to enable us to be like Joshua and Caleb, to be freedom walkers, walking around the land of Canaan, conquering our enemies and conquering to conquer and building our kingdom in the Lord. If you understand what I'm saying. In other words, where we victory after victory, and you gain a victory here, and we can use that as a stepping stone and a building block to give us victory in another area of our lives. And you know, I look back in the last 40 years of my life, I'm like, Lord, you've been so merciful. The Lord has helped me gain some victories along the way too. And you know what? I'm actually looking forward. It may kind of sound weird to say this. For the next 40 years, man, I'll be pretty old. But I'm looking forward to some more victories. Some areas where I can say, well, I know the last 40 years, the Lord really helped me in some of those. You know, there's still some territory to conquer in Jesus' name. There's still some areas of victory that God wants to bring in my life and in your life. So again, the next 40 years, wherever that finds you here today, God wants to be there for you every step of the way. That we not just settle to be prisoners of hope. Well, there'll be a better day someday. But no, right now, here in 2024, in the days and years ahead, we can be freedom walkers, walking around in the power and victory that Christ gives us. That we can enjoy the bounty, the privileges, the blessings, the double blessings for the troubles that we endure. He said, I'm going to pour you out, open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, the scripture says. That's what God wants to do for us in the spirit here today and in years to come. You pray for me that I would be faithful to him. Amen.